passing shower or storm, highs Thursday near 100. Richard DeWedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning. Welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of Inside the Locker Room, 205-342-9904. If you'd like to jump in with us this morning, Kevin Skarbanski will join us at the bottom of the hour. No guest in the 8 o'clock hour, so we can take phone calls here the first 30 minutes or during the 8 o'clock hour if you'd like to jump in. Download the app. Get that Tide 100.9 app, especially now with school back in session and football getting ready to start, but basketball, everything baseball, as far as Alabama goes, and even local sports and all, they will have stories updated all the time. They will shoot you a message when there's a new story out on the website, and you also can send us an app message throughout the show, so get that on your smartphone, and when you travel, you can listen to all the shows. I know a lot of people enjoy doing that. You want to email us? That's easy. wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. We want to thank Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. If you want to build that five-star backyard, then Yellowwood would be your only choice. Go to yellowwood.com to find a dealer closer to you. And if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want to. Got Chase behind the glass. Good morning, Chase. How are you, sir? He's giving me the wave. Good morning, Dad. How are you this morning?
I'm doing okay. I've got a lot to say, but I'll say it very, very quickly. First of all, I'm going to announce when Joe Dean's funeral is today, and I won't say any more about it until Friday when we get off the air. The service will be at 11 o'clock on Monday at the Asbury United Methodist Church at 6690 Cahaba Valley Road. Also, the same thing as 119 in Birmingham, Alabama. And they will have a service there starting at 11 o'clock this coming Monday. If you would like to give donations, you do not have to buy flowers. If you would give money to Southwest Mississippi Community College, where they had the string music, honoring Joe that way. And a lot of kids went down there and participated in string music camp for years and years and years. So you could give money to that little small community college there who housed those people, those boys. And it was a great honor for me to see this happen like this, even though we did lose Joe. So do that if you can, if you'd like to give something to his behalf. I also want to say that Steve Sloan passed away. Mm. There has never been a better person, a better quarterback, a better human being, a better athletic director than Steve Sloan. He was absolutely, without a doubt, the greatest person to go and visit with as the athletic director, to honor him. For me, is he was, most of you don't understand. Some of you got upset about the Bill Curry thing. It just so happened that Bill Curry was hired. Bill Curry is a good friend of mine too. And Bill Curry was hired before the athletic director was hired back then. They weren't hired athletic director Bill Curry. I mean, they hired the football coach first, and then hired Steve Sloan. But he was absolutely terrific. And I want people to know what I think about him, because I know the AP rankings are out. Ohio State and Oregon, Georgia, North Carolina, Notre Dame, pardon me, Texas and Indiana are the top six. Alabama's picked number 13, LSU 12, Ole Miss is picked number 9, mean anything. The SEC has the most number. They have about nine in there. As far as the top of the rankings, because of the two very good teams that that the Big Ten have, they're at the top of the rankings. But number-wise, SEC has the most, a nine, I think it is. So in my pickings, I picked Georgia to win the SEC championship, and I picked Indiana to win the Big Ten. And Indiana's pick, I think, number six. So that's about it. Tennessee did get a quarterback in 28 in 2028 from North Carolina, so he should be good. Now I will say to you that we talk about all the injuries that everybody has. The injury to Deere is a bad injury. 6 weeks out, 6 weeks. We've already said that before, but a lot of teams have had injuries, but. They still got, you know, they got some depth back there, but it's depth that is not known. It's not whether it's Barry's mentioned AJ Crowell have not played any, may not be the right kind of depth, but there are two or three good Riley kids back there and Daniel Hill's back there that could play. So we'll see what happens there. That's it for me.
All right. Yeah, we'll see. Ryan Grubb, we'll hear from him in the second hour. He did say they're getting closer to naming a quarterback, and he acted like they were going to do it next week. You know, I don't know. Other than the fans, us talking about it constantly, and I get why they want to maybe name him, and this that way all the talk goes away, and they can start to give the guy all the reps or most of the reps there. But I think you have to be careful not to. I don't think they're going to do this. Rule out the other guy. I don't know why you have to name a starter other than to get people to shut up. But what happens inside that building shouldn't really affect what's happening on the outside. But it sounds like they're going to do that. There's no right or wrong answer there. I think that's just the way they've always done it. They've always named a starter, and that would be really if they do it next week, almost 2 weeks before. Kickoff. So it sounds like that's the direction that they're headed, that they will name it. Everybody wants to speculate on who they think it is. Sounds like maybe Russell, but do you think that's the best way to handle it? Go ahead and name it so they can get that out of the way, and then they can start building their first-team offense and the roles, or maybe even the backup guy if he's going to have a package or two in there during the games.
Yeah, you know, I think we're your main guy, the guy that everybody wants to know about. You go ahead and make an announcement if you're comfortable as a, and we'll get some words from the offensive coordinator today, as you said. But I think if you can go ahead and make an announcement. And I'll also, in my wording, if I was a basketball guy, in my wording, I would word both people in there. If they want to, you know, we'll be starting so and so. I would make it feel that it's, whether it is or not, a joint effort to be sure that we have ready, a couple of guys ready to play.
Yeah, I think you obviously you're one play away, and you also have a very talented. Who knows which direction they go? Either way, you're going to have a talented guy sitting there in. You're probably not going to have that guy next year. So you want to, you know, make it the best year possible for everybody. And then even Jalen Hurts left his last year and Tua, I believe, started here. So, and you can't blame these guys now with the system that's in place. They need to play. And so if it's Russell, you know Mac's going to go after this year. And who could blame? I mean, I think he would. But who could blame him, to be quite honest with you? And he could get his shot. Yes.
Let me tell you something funny, Barry, when I think about this. Joe Namath is caught going to a bar. And he is put on suspension about whether he's going to play. I think it's in the Cotton Bowl. They have, and Tom are like this, they have the meeting. And Coach Bryant said to them, we've got a situation here where what we should do. Every coach except Gene Stallings said play him. Gene Stallings said don't play him. play Steve Sloan. And Coach Bryant went along with that, played Steve Sloan in the Cotton Bowl. I think it was very interesting. It was a big deal back then. Nobody has listened to this show. It was born. But we had all the offensive, all the staff members were there. And they raised a hand and said, don't play him. And play him, pardon me. And Gene said, let's play Steve Sloan. And they did that. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to somebody that Mac Jones, you know, he waited his turn. He started. And then I believe they said this right. I can't – the order of quarterbacks that he started when Bryce Young was a freshman. Is that right? I had to check that. But if that – I mean, you think about a guy like Bryce Young. that, you know, that's the kind of quarterbacks that you've had. You've had Jalen Hurts sitting on the bench, Bryce Young sitting on the bench. So they've had a pretty good track record of quarterbacks here, and it's kind of turned into – kind of quarterback you, to be quite honest with you. And if Ty Simpson goes on and does just half of what he did the other night, and he'll have to wait his turn with Matthew Stafford, but he seems to be heading in the right direction. Jalen Hurts seems to be, has already won a Super Bowl. Bryce Young's really good. Mike Jones, when he's played, has been very good. So the quarterbacks have done very, very well when they moved on to the National Football League, which is helpful, even if they only played 1 year in college. So, and I just, the A.K. Deer thing, I don't, did they say what he did to his ankle? Like, it had to be more than obviously an ankle sprain. An ankle, usually it's not 6 weeks unless you had to have one of those tightrope surgeries. But even that, I don't know what he did. Did he break his ankle? I mean, I don't know that anybody's ever been. So if anybody knows that, send us a message. Let me know exactly what did he do to his ankle there. And that's a tough injury to come back from if it's that, because you can't – I mean, you can get in the pool and do some things, but that's not – the conditioning part of that is difficult to be back in condition when it's time to be a running back and cut and do all the things you got to do there. All right, we'll take the first break. We'll get to the phone lines. When we get back, we're off and running. 205-342-9904 if you'd like to get in. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 a.m. WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.
Trending on the Tuscaloosa thread.
Good morning. Here's one of the top stories we're following for you this hour. An extreme heat warning is in effect for all of central Alabama through tonight at 9, as dangerous heat indices ranging from 105 to 113 are forecast. Stay hydrated and avoid strenuous outdoor activities during the heat of the day. Wear lightweight, light-colored clothing. And for people without effective cooling, there are cooling stations open across West Alabama. Call your local EMA for details. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more news throughout the day. I'm Don Hartley.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. All is well for your Tuscaloosa roadway so far. We are still moving at posted speed in the area. And if you're traveling at those popular intersections, Lurleen Wallace and McFarland, of course, you'll just find regular stoplight delays. 43 southbound onto McFarland, same situation.
Perfect upgrade. They'll guide you every step, answering your questions. Shop today and save big during the best sale of the year. They make sleep easy.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
The Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are a kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. We have a heat advisory that remains in place through 9 o'clock tonight. Sunshine. High temperatures here today, 98, feeling like 109 with a heat index. And a passing shower or storm this afternoon. Partly cloudy, muggy tonight, low 75. Sizzling sunshine tomorrow. High tomorrow near 100. Heat index values near 107. Sunny and hot Thursday. Passing shower or storm. Highs Thursday near 100. Richard DeWedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Score! And welcome back to Inside Bunker. Pressure treated pile from Great Southern if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it. Yeah, don't want it. The Yellowwood Highline. Morning, Philip.
Good morning.
My friend, how you doing today? Wimp, how you doing, sir?
I'm okay.
Good, good. Barry, I want to talk about football, and I'm beating it to death a little bit, but I'm going to lay off today. I want to talk about Crowell, but I'm going to lay off. I am fascinated by the reporting that is going on right now in the Kai Spears suit against the New York Times. Have you been keeping up with that, Ryan?
No, and I see stuff about it, and I have literally, and I've been, whatever I've been doing, I haven't taken the time to click on it and read it. Please update me on what's going on with it.
Well, it's pretty, it's very, 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 very involved. You are going to have to just take some time, Barry, to click on Ryan Phillips' stories on the Tuscaloosa Patch and read about the reporting. I do encourage you to do that. But he's done an excellent job. They've had a lot of testimony from various people, including the writer of the story and how all that went down. But yesterday, Kai himself took the stand. And it gives just a completely incredible, to me, one of the first times ever, just insight into that night and how Kai got involved in that, which was just through some sorry sourcing and reporting on the New York Times' part. And I feel like Kai's going to win.
Is he obviously hurt his... Obviously damaged his, I guess, character. I don't want to say character, but is he suing to win money? What is he suing to win here, Philip?
I would assume that's the case. I can't really remember reading anything specifically about that. But one thing it did do to him is it messed him up academically, and he started struggling right after that event happened, and he never really recovered, Barry.
Yeah.
And it's something that everybody ought to read, because he went through a lot, and so did the poor student manager that was riding along in Brandon Miller's car. That kid was really devastated.
Yeah, I'm gonna catch up on it. I'm surprised it's not getting more attention. To be quiet. I mean, I know there's people covering it, but you don't really. There is some stuff on X about it, but you just don't hear about it. And
I know,
is Brandon Miller gonna have to come on, get on the stage on the stand?
You know, I don't know what's gonna happen next.
Yeah.
You know, that was. I would encourage you, though, to go back and read yesterday's story.
I will. I'm going to do it today. And I've been seeing it. It's intrigued me. And because I follow that story, and I'm just blown away that the guy's still in jail over there, to be quite honest with you. But
I am too.
But
I am too. And
go ahead.
Well, it did a lot of damage to these kids. Especially Kai and the other young man that was there that night, just by complete weirdness, and you know, Ty, he went through hell on the road, road games and things like that. He went through utter hell, and the team did.
You know, and the way Brandon Miller, I honestly didn't think I don't think he had anything to do with it. And the national media just beat him to pieces over it. And I think his first game back, I think, I'm not 100% sure, but was that South Carolina? Didn't he get 41 for that game?
He went absolutely crazy. It was either 41 or 46.
Yeah. He's handled it, because he, you know, I've seen his family interviewed, really good family. He's from Nashville, a really good kid. He has been raked over the coals over this whole thing, too, people. But when really, he had no involvement in this. He was just being a friend going and picking up some drunk teammates, to be quite honest with you.
Pretty much that was the case. But the articles are not real quick things. They're not just a little paragraph quote things. They're very, very detailed, very, very time-oriented. There's like a chronology of events. So I don't know how Ryan did it. That was one of the first jobs I had after school at Alabama. I worked for a newspaper. And I had to cover a couple of court cases. Court cases are hard to report on.
Yeah.
Because there's no room for guesswork. So I want to commend Ryan for that great reporting, because it is great reporting.
Well, now that you said that, I'm going to read it. So, Dad, you know what he's talking about, right?
Well, the loss of the girl.
Go ahead, Philip. There was Kai Spears, is a guy who was a walk-on, and and they were saying he was there and all this stuff, and he really wasn't even there, right, Philip?
Correct.
Yeah. Correct. And so they wrote that in the New York Times and just messed the kid up. You know, people just... And that's the thing now, you know, you want to be first all the time now. And so, I mean, having New York Times, I mean, come on. They don't know what's happening down here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And so I hope the guy wins. I hope the kid wins. I'm surprised they tried this thing here in Tuscaloosa. I would think he's got a pretty good shot to win it, don't you, Philip?
Well, I would think so. And I think Ty is coming across as a really good witness, too. Especially his testimony yesterday, how it affected him, and how the reporting affected him, how Brandon was affected in a hotel room one night getting ready for a game, and it may have been that South Carolina game, Barry, that you just referenced a minute ago. How Stephen A. Smith, that damn guy, got on the airways that night and said that Brandon should be kicked off the team and in jail and all that kind of stuff. And
Clay Travis was horrible to Brandon Miller overall.
He was horrible, and he's not apologized yet.
Yeah, he was horrible and wrong.
He was horrible.
And wrong.
He was horrible to him.
And he lives in Nashville,
He was absolutely horrible to him. And he wasn't the only one.
Yeah.
He wasn't the only one. You know, there were a lot of people that jumped on all these guys right from the get-go and jumped all over Oates. But that story that they published yesterday, that he put out yesterday, is really good. It gives you really good insight as to what was going on, not only with these kids, but with the administrators, with Coach Oates. Oates' name was mentioned a lot last night.
Yeah. I don't know why it's not getting more attention, but I appreciate you bringing that up, Philip. I'm going to go read it today. So.
All right,
buddy.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take the break here and get to Kevin Skarbinski. Andy Kinson, my good friend with Alabama Pro Wash. You want to get that property looking great before football gets going, and this is your guy. Andy came out, and he got my whole back area looking really, really nice. It still looks great back there. He knows you're proud of your property, but the dirt, mold, grime on your brick, stucco, or siding can make even the most well-cared-for home or business seem neglected. Their services include residential, commercial exterior cleaning, low pressure soft washing, window cleaning, shingle restorations. They will clean all your concrete, the driveways, the sidewalks. They have a drone They had to go get up on my chimney and behind all that, so they can do that for you as well. So give them a call, 205-799-9069. Expect quality exterior cleaning service from your home or business when you talk to my guy Andy at Alabama Pro Wash. Listen, Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. All is well for your Tuscaloosa roadway so far. We are still moving at posted speed in the area. And if you're traveling at those popular intersections, Lurline, Wallace, and McFarland, of course, you'll just find regular stoplight delays. 43 southbound onto McFarland, same situation here. Skyland between McFarland and 69, regular on and off your brakes, a little more off than on, so that's a good thing. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, Tammy Thomas.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Great purchase. Plus, check out the new Big Game Headquarters menu featuring the affordable All-Stars. The Hillcrest Huddle at Baum Hours, Tuesdays on Tide 100.9 FM.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Treated by him from Great Southern Wood. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. All right, right to the Yellowwood hotline. He writes with AL.com. He's got his own podcast that he does. He joins us every Tuesday. Kevin Skarbanski. Good morning, Kevin. How are you, my man?
Hey, Kevin. Good, fellas. How are you today?
We're good. Go ahead, Dad.
I told a story. I'm not going to tell the story, but you call me, I'll give it to you when we talk about who's going to be the quarterback. When Joe Namath got caught going to a bar and they voted, and I was around right next door when they voted to decide whether they were going to play Joe Namath or not at Cotton Bowl and end up playing the greatest quarterback I've ever known there, Steve Sloan. You call me sometime, I'll tell you that story. But anyway, Barry's been talking about when it's time to name the quarterback publicly. So that's the reason for the question. And the second part of the question would be, 9 teams from the SEC, according to AP, are pretty good. But the two better ones are in the Big Ten to win the league. You comment on those two leagues going against each other, one with a big number and one with two that are better than the others that in the SEC.
Sure, Wim. As far as the quarterback at Alabama goes, I think you name the quarterback publicly when you know it privately, because it's hard to keep secrets nowadays. Too many people talk to too many people, and everybody's a member of the now. So if you know, there's no sense in keeping it quiet. I don't know why. I don't know what the value of that would be. You know, if you're trying to, you're not really trying to fool your opening opponent. And if you have to fool East Carolina, you got bigger problems with who you're going to start a quarterback. So I think you make the announcement when you're confident that you know who the starter is and you've seen enough evidence to make that decision. As far as the AP poll that came out yesterday, yeah, you're right. The SEC had the most teams with 9. The Big Ten had 8. But the Big Ten had the first 2 teams in Ohio State and Oregon. And you know the most interesting thing about the poll was 6, I think it was 5 or 6 different teams got first place votes. None of them were from the SEC.
Yeah.
Not a single SEC team got a first place vote. Think about that. When's the last time that happened?
Yeah.
I mean, you probably have to go back to the early 2000s before that run of championships started in 06 with Florida. That's extraordinary. Georgia didn't get a first place vote. Texas didn't get a first place vote. No one did. So what that tells you is, in my mind, is that people still believe that top to bottom, the SEC is the best conference, but it doesn't have the elite teams at the top that the Big Ten does, and it doesn't have the elite teams at the top that the SEC used to have.
Kevin, where do we stand? I'm just so tired of reading. I've stopped reading it with the court, the 2022 class. I saw on Twitter, I didn't really fact check it, that Auburn was just picking up some real small receiver from Jacksonville State. So, but then I saw where Greg Sankey was telling everybody to move with caution. Where does this thing stand right now? Can these teams take 2022s, or is it only in certain states, only certain kids? What is the rule right now? Do you even know? I don't
know that anybody does. And I'm like you, I'm fatigued with the whole subject. I'm confused by it because you've had so many different rulings. The NCAA has drawn a line in the sand. So far it's not budging on its stance that those players are not eligible. So I don't know how this is all going to shake out. Did you guys see he's a national basketball writer, Jeff Goodman.
Yeah.
He quoted anonymously
about the tournament.
A member of the Division I basketball committee, which is the selection committee, who said, well, the NCAA may not be able to punish these guys, but I can seed them lower, or I can not put them on my ballot, or I cannot vote for them to get in the field as an at-large. I'm really surprised that a member of that committee would say that to a member of the media. Because the committee's stance generally has been, we don't make these rules as far as eligibility. We judge the teams based on who's on the floor. And I think this goes back to Charles Bediako last year, that it's not their job to make decisions on whether a player should or should not have been eligible. You judge the team based on its performance, based on who's on the roster, and it's not your place to decide who should be on the roster. So that's how far-reaching this has gotten, and that's why it needs to have a resolution. I mean, we're about to start playing football games, guys. Like you said, I don't know that. I think that slot receiver was from Troy.
Yeah,
that Auburn just picked up. Anyway, but I don't know if he can play this year. Is Auburn taking a risk? But if they do play him, I don't know. How do you even incorporate somebody into your lineup now all of a sudden, who hasn't even been on campus, and now you're going to he hasn't practiced today, hasn't looked at a playbook, and all of a sudden you're just going to add him, and he's going to be able to help you? I don't know. Maybe you can make it work, but the whole thing is absurd, and it just, again, speaks to the NCAA's incompetence.
But is that the NCAA's? Is that their fault? I mean, they put a rule in place, and then it goes to court. People always blame the NCAA, but if they can put a rule in place, and then they can just run to the courtroom and change it, I don't understand. How is that the NCAA's fault?
Well, in this case, I do agree with you on the overall concept that it's too easy to just blame the NCAA for everything that's wrong. For example, when the NCAA puts in rules and people immediately look for ways to circumvent them, and they run to courts to get decisions that are favorable, that are opposing the rules. However, in this case, it was the timing of the decision.
Yeah.
I think
that's the one I
blame
the fall.
That's what I blame the NCAA for here.
Yeah,
it was the timing of the decision.
Yeah. Well, Nate Oates said, I think he's right. They should have waited till the fall, get classes started, get everything going. Then there would have been no leg for these 2022s to stand on. But when you do it, when they did, they announced the timing of it. Not to say people wouldn't go back and sue, but the timing of it was not great. And he's also not happy about, and I'm not sure he's not right about this, when you talk about the rev share and you put it at $21 million or whatever it is, his stance is the Big East doesn't have football. So they can take more of that money and use it for basketball guys. Well, the SEC, we've got football, big time football. And so we don't have the same NIL maybe as the Big East does. Is he right about that? Okay. He said they ought to cap it per sport. So that way the Big East couldn't have more than the SEC, but right now they do, according to Nate. Is that accurate?
It is accurate. Whether they would ever make that change as far as allocating it by sport, who knows? But this has been a concern of the SEC, the SEC coaches, SEC officials. I mean, SEC officials at the office in Birmingham, for some time. Ever since rev sharing came into existence, that, wait a minute, there are very, very good basketball schools that, you know, either they don't have football or, like UConn. Now, I don't know what UConn's football budget is, but I'm going to guess it ain't Alabama's football budget, you know, and it ain't Florida's football budget. So in terms of rev share, so I'm sure Danny Hurley has access to more. I'm fairly certain. I don't know this for a fact, but he has access to more money to build a basketball roster than some other, you know, very prominent basketball schools. So yeah, that's a definite advantage for schools like that. And I don't know that you would ever get agreement on changing the parameters of how you can direct that money.
Yeah.
Not quite in line with what y'all say, but 16 mid-majors going to be in the NCAA tournament in basketball. I think Barry likes that, and I do too, because we should have been in there in Little Rock. I think I saw that today, 16 mid-majors. So,
I don't understand. What do you mean? I mean, how do you know that?
Well, that's just what they came out with. I read it on the internet this morning. I didn't.
Oh, somebody put out a bracket. Somebody put out an early bracket.
Well, they had 60. What's the total now? 68
teams. Well, it's going. No. I don't even know what.
No, we're going to 76.
Yeah.
76, right?
Yeah. But they said 16 mid majors, and I was afraid it was just going to go to, you know, of course Alabama. Not Alabama, but the SEC is getting so many teams in now. That back in my day, we were so fortunate to get two in when, you know, Kentucky and us.
Well, remember when that's a projection. That's not the actual committee sitting down. And you know that, of course. But that is a concern. And until we see it in action, until we see what they come out with on Selection Sunday, I think it's going to be a concern for mid-majors.
We have 12, and this is football time, not basketball, but we have 12 games rather than having four in Dayton. We have 12 games in two or three locations. So I'll leave that alone because I know you're talking football, but kind of interesting.
Yeah. It's going to be Dayton. It's going to be half of them in Dayton and half in Wichita.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those early rounds.
Before we get back
whatever they're calling them.
Football, Kevin, obviously, we know being in Birmingham and tip-off club and all that, you had a, like Dad and I, had a really good relationship with Joe Dean Jr. And I know he's been off the grid here for a while with some problems there. But, you know, and sometimes guys go away and you don't realize they're going away. But what a great guy Joe Dean Jr., the whole Dean family was, and there's so many people that can tell you stories about Joe Dean Jr. I can tell you about working Dixie basketball camp with him, but he, you know, he was one guy too that did so much for basketball, you know, in a football state. Just talk about your relationship there with Joe Dean Jr. and how much we've missed him here over the last several years, to be quite honest with you. He was a great commentator for the SEC. I know he and Tim Brenda write a really nice thing about him there, and just wanted to get your take on Joe Dean Jr.
Yeah, I'm still processing the fact that he's gone. And as you said, he had really disappeared from public view. He's had health issues for some time. And it's really been sad because Joe was such a force advocating for basketball in this state. And you guys will appreciate this. You know, if you love basketball in this state and you have for a long time, or you've been part of the game and you've helped build it, or you guys have, I like to think I've contributed a little bit to that, you know, you kind of form a fraternity. And even if you compete, even if you're as coaches, you compete, but you're all lifting the sport against long odds for a long time. Now it's different now. But people forget, you know, when you were having all your success at Alabama, you know, it was a challenge to draw people to games at times because football was such a you know, eclipsed basketball in so many ways. The media as a group wasn't big on covering basketball the way it covered football. I like to think I helped change that somewhat. So Joe was, and Joe was a Pied Piper for basketball. And I'll tell you, you know, we all know his biography and as a coach, as an AD, what he did at Birmingham Southern. when they and moving them to Division One for a brief period of time with Dwayne Rebol as the coach was pretty extraordinary. And they were successful right off the bat as a D1 basketball program. But I'll tell you a quick story. It tells you about Jodine Jr. My older son's high school basketball team, every summer in June, you could go to camps. And they would go to a team camp at Birmingham Southern. And one day they were waiting to play a game. And Joe just happened, it was in the Stripling Center where Joe's office was as the AD there. And Joe just happened to come by. I said, Joe, look, my guys are, you know, they've been here all day. They haven't had a very good day. I'm just a parent at this point. I'm not a coach or anything. But I said, would you mind, you know, kind of, you know, it's late in the day. They're very tired. Like I said, they got beat a couple of times badly. Could you just kind of say a few words to them? And he went over and gave them, didn't know who they were, gave them the most incredible pep talk. And he was so fired up and excited and got them fired up and excited to play their last game of the day. And that's the kind of person he was.
Yeah.
He just had this natural enthusiasm about him. And so I've missed him for a long time. Miss him even more now that we know that he's gone.
Yeah, he and his dad were great motivational speakers. I know his dad, on the last day of Dixie basketball camp, would always give a speech. I mean, he literally would. We have a recording of it. He would make you would want to run through an absolute wall after listening to those guys speak.
Yeah.
I worked the camp as a coach, assistant coach, and Jodine Senior and I are big buddies, and he tried his very best to find me a head job when I was trying to get out of Alabama. As an assistant, because I was there so long as assistant. And I want to say about Lauren Dean, Joe's wife. She called me an hour after he passed away because I had been out to try to help him, take him to his, to help him shave and to get him up and get him in a car two or three times. The service is going to be at 11 o'clock at the Methodist Church on 119 on Monday. And so after that, they'll have they're not going to be a walkthrough ceremony. They're going to have dinner and then visit in the gymnasium after it's over with. But she's done a terrific job because in actuality, she's just had to, for a long, long, long time, had to babysit.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that. But my heart, the reason I'm saying this, I know, I'm sure she's listening, and I hope she is, and my hat goes out to her. She's great.
Yeah. Everybody's heart goes out to her, the whole family. And that service on Monday, that's going to be an incredible outpouring of love and support and appreciation for Joe. And I'm looking forward to being there and seeing so many people that cared so much about basketball, and Joe was at the forefront of that.
It's just a shame that he doesn't, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't know what an impact he had on people, you know, especially the last few years where he's kind of been off the grid. But, man, he affected so many people and in a positive way. And obviously he did us three as well, so... As you hear us talk about it. So it's, you know, I wish, you know, sometimes guys really knew how people felt about them, Kevin.
It just Barry, that's a great point. It just reminds us to make sure you thank people. Make sure you let people know while you have the chance that what they mean to you, what impact they've had on you, on your life. Like in Joe's case, in an entire state, an entire sport. Beyond this state, what he meant to so many people, and we should all stop and take a moment every once in a while just to say thank you to the important people in our lives.
All right, I should have probably done that at the end, but we'll flip back to football for just a second. What are you seeing down there at Auburn? Alex Golish, pretty fiery guy, Kevin. I kind of like what I'm hearing from him. You know, they had a scrimmage, and he basically told you how bad it was. And so it's not... Everything's not roses coming out of there. Stuff coming out of Alabama is very positive. Stuff coming out of there is he's kind of not satisfied. Maybe it was a bad scrimmage. I don't know. But I think this pretty tough guy that's not going to accept mediocrity by his coaches or his players. So we'll see if it, what it translates to on the field. But it seems like they're heading in the right direction as far as that goes, in my opinion.
Yeah, he seems to be very realistic about what's happening there. After the first scrimmage, he said they didn't look like a veteran team. They looked like a team that was up and down, very emotional based on, you know, how the day was going or how the last series went. And you have to be more consistent than that when at a high level in the SEC. You got to be able to shake off the stakes. And so his messaging has been on point, I think, since he got there. I keep going farther and farther out on the limb thinking, you know what, this could be – they could shock a lot of people. I mean, you look at that AP poll, they got 3 points. One ballot had them number 24. One had them number 25. If you went down the list of also receiving votes, they were number 44 overall. There aren't going to be 43 football teams better than Auburn this year, and there aren't going to be 12 SEC teams better than Auburn this year. They were the 13th team on the list of SEC teams in that poll, and it was the same in the coaches' poll. I think they were 13th in that as well. They're going to be better than that. How much better really depends on how good is Byron Brown. Can he be a Nick Marshall good type of comet that comes on, you know, just bursts onto the scene, comes out of, and not coming out of nowhere, because he's done this before. Nick Marshall never really played quarterback in football bowl subdivision when he got to Auburn from JUCO, former DB, and he had an unbelievable season in 2013. So that's kind of my comparison. I think if he has a big year, it's really going to, they're going to be good on defense. DJ Durkin's defenses are going to be at least solid. And where they failed has been on offense. And now you got a coach who knows offense as a head coach. And you got a quarterback, and you got a bunch of receivers, and you got a center. People overlooked that, the fact that his center is coming with him as well from South Florida. So I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance for them to shock a lot of people.
Yeah. That, anything else for Kevin before I let him go?
No thing. I appreciate you mentioning Joe. And time gets by for this old world. It gets by fast. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Yeah, tell everybody where they can find you, Kevin. Tell everybody where they can find
you. Yeah, best thing to do, follow me on Twitter or X at Kevin Skarbinski. Keep up with my columns in the Birmingham News. You can find those on AL.com. And go to YouTube, Kevin Skarbinski-Scarbo Knows. That's my YouTube channel. You can find my podcast there. I'm doing 3 a week, and I'm doing a live chat every Sunday night. Hope people will join in. It's starting to grow. People are starting to notice on Sunday nights from 8 to 9. We're going to keep that going on through the season.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right, there's Kevin Skarbinski. All right, we'll get to break here. We'll open up the phone lines now. The rest of the show, we also can hear Ryan Grubb in the second hour. We'd love to have your phone calls, 205-342-9904. One thing, Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Getting a little more volume in the area, not too much so, but it is Tuesday. And so as you travel on Skyland or in between McFarland and 69, you've got the usual happenings, nothing too big. Also moving on McFarland and Lurline Wallace, that intersections is its usual.
339-7361. That's 205-339-7361. Locally owned, locally trusted, and ready to bring your ideas to life.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance and is backed by an entire team of people you know and trust. Rent a Toyota and let's go places. Reserving yours is a breeze at TuscaloosaToyota.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are
kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. We have a heat advisory that remains in place through 9 o'clock tonight. Sunshine. High temperatures here today, 98, feeling like 109 with a heat index. And a passing shower or storm this afternoon. Partly cloudy, muggy tonight, low 75. Sizzling sunshine tomorrow. High tomorrow near 100. Heat index values near 107. Sunny and hot Thursday. Passing shower or storm. Highs Thursday near 100. Richard DeWedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 77 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the cruising Tide everywhere you go.
We'll get to the top of the hour break. Phone lines will be open in the second hour, 205-342-9904. We'll also hear from Coach Grubb, about a nine-minute interview yesterday. And I'm assuming Coach Womack will go today, and then they'll have the scrimmage. And then Coach DeBoer will go on Thursday, and then they have the same schedule. They'll take Friday, Saturday off, get back going Sunday, and they got 2 weeks, I guess, from Saturday till they play again, play the first game there. So it seems like it's a long August practice and getting ready for the season. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
TBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
In the NBA, the Buss family said it's selling its stake in the Lakers, so Jeannie Buss cannot remain as team governor, but her attorney demanded a retraction of the trust statement. The LA Dodgers were 11-5 winners at Colorado, two home runs for Shohei Ohtani. The Cubs' Pete Crow Armstrong hit two home runs, including the game winner in the 10th inning in a Cubs win over the White Sox 7-5. Tampa Bay edged Baltimore 7-6. The save to Brian Baker, his 35th. He leads the majors. The Rays, first place in the AL East, now six games ahead of the Yankees, who will have pitcher Carlos Rodon off the injured list to start on Tuesday, but Yankee pitcher Max Fried was placed on the IL. Philadelphia edged Miami 6-5, winner Christopher Sanchez.
All the side effects of Creon. You can learn more at 1-800-633-9110.
Before your appointment, visit creoninfo.com. That's creoninfo.com.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson. A father-son duo with decades of coaching experience. Breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And welcome back to the second hour of Inside the Locker Room. Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to the website, TuscaloosaToyota.com. You can do it all right there at the website. They got the tab for the new inventory. Look at the Tacomas, the Tundras, the 4Runners, the Camrys, and they have all the specials there for lease or purchase. You want to buy a pre-owned car, you can look at the pre-owned inventory right there. Schedule service. Try it before you buy it. You want to rent a Toyota, you're going out of town. before football gets going, or you're going to take a trip to see the Crimson Tide play, then you can rent a Toyota right there at TuscaloosaToyota.com, or you can swing by 3325 Skyland Boulevard, find Justin, and tell him that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, is there practice in the mornings? And I'm sure I can't blame them right now. My goodness, in the afternoons, it's so hot. I actually went out on a walk this morning, like at 4:45, just to beat the heat. It was fine then, but these high school teams, there's certain stuff within the high school rules. If the temperature's a certain, if it's a certain number, I guess whatever, they can only go out in helmets and only practice for an hour outside. So some of the teams are practicing late at night or early in the mornings there, but they get going this week. Boy, that's, whew, it's dangerous, I think, these kids out there playing in this heat, Dad. It's tough to practice.
Kevin DeBoer and his wife never make any comments about this publicly. They don't do that. But I guarantee you, to each other, they're saying to themselves, wow. Had no idea it's this kind of heat down here. Maybe some of the coaches or some of the people that came with them from up where they came from. So it's a little bit hotter than generally speaking. But Coach Bryant and Ember, I was watching them practice. It was hot then, but maybe not this hot. But it's as Barry mentioned, it's you got to be careful. It's dangerous time, and sometimes you don't realize you're sick until you're sick. And so you work them and get them ready. It used to be when Coach Bryant and them very first started practice, you didn't give them any water, and then that got stopped where you had water breaks. And certainly they have a lot of water breaks there. So kind of interesting times for these coaches and players who come into this area from a different place.
Yeah, and shout out to all the trainers and medical staff that there's things you have to put in place, the cold tubs, the cold towels, the managers or whatever, to get these kids the fluids and all they need. You know, and there's a balance there. Is you want to toughen your team up, but you also don't, you know, the old school way would be fight through it and, you know, push them to the limit. But, man, I think you just have to – you almost have to be really careful in this situation and not overdo it as far as trying to do the toughness stuff with them. And I don't know that you – can you really get them ready to play, especially if you're – high school guys now only practicing the helmets. I mean, at least Alabama, they can go over there and go indoors and cut the air on, I guess. That's not what they're going to play. And I don't understand why you would kick off the Alabama-East Carolina game at 11. I mean, I would think these games need to go at night, to be quite honest with you. I know TV dictates everything, but, man, it's – when you kick off at 11, I mean, you're going to be out there on that field 1 o'clock in the afternoon on that turf field. That's brutal for the fans and the players.
I don't want to go back in time with you, Barry, because I wasn't even married when you were, but you hadn't been born. But this is why Ray Perkins, when he took over for Coach Bryant, fought for an indoor facility. And he and the president stayed. You know, the president didn't really see any need for an indoor facility. And Ray was I talked about how much I cared for Steve Sloan. I cared a lot for Ray Perkins too. He's great for me in my basketball program. He was terrific. And he fought night and day to try to get that indoor facility and finally got it. So kind of interesting that you say things like that, because back in Coach Bryant's day, there was no indoor facility, and it was pretty hot.
Yeah, I mean, you need it. If it's lightning or something outside, and you want to get your work in, and a lot of these high school teams, they try to go in the basketball gym or the basketball, you know, you got other volleyball, all those sports in there as well, and you really can't get anything done inside. So I feel for these high school coaches, and people say, well, they should start the season later. Well, if you start it later, you know, then you really run into basketball and the other sports. And, you know, trying to get in football, I know there's other sports, but football, basketball, and baseball, I mean, you're literally running in, into the summer already. So I don't know what else you can do as far as what they really should do is flip it and play basketball starting in September and then have football start like in November and where the weather's better, you know, and of course you get into Major League Baseball and then, you know, they're playing all this warm weather, then they get to the playoffs and sometimes it's freezing when these guys go and play. They should really flip the schedule, but that'll never happen. Anyway.
Weather is really the big unknown factor. Now it's more known now because of being able to have an idea of what's going to happen with your people. You listen to weather people, but really and truly from year to year, it's an unknown factor. When you have an unknown factor like that, that affects your practices, affects your game, affects your attendance, everything. It's a complicated deal because when you deal with unknown factors in this world, you don't know exactly which way to go.
Yeah, so I don't know what you do. If you start it later, then football season's still going on. Heck, you'd be 10, 15 games into your basketball season before some of those guys got their basketball players that are playing both sports. The smaller schools, they can't even have basketball until football's over because all the kids are playing multi-sports there. So it is what it is. They have to do the best they can. There's some pretty big games in high school. You know, Thursday night, you got Northridge going over to ACA. ACA has that turf field over there. It's going to be and then you got Hillcrest going to County High. I can't remember who Central's playing, but there's some games. But man, I don't even think I could go out and watch those games. It's going to be so hot out there. So anyway, hopefully everybody will be safe. They figure out the best ways to handle all that. There'll be a lot of stoppage of play during the games for heat breaks and water breaks. Those games will take forever out there as well. So, all right, we'll take the break here. We'll put the phone lines 205-342-9904. We also can play Coach Ryan Grubb. We got a couple of calls coming in here now, so we'd love to take those. Listen, Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We are definitely, well, we filled in now on the North Fort freeways inside your prime time. Watch out for heavy traffic on 69 southbound onto Union Chapel Road. So you are red lit back to Hammertown Road. And moving about, McFarland found an accident here on
Liberty Mutual. And they'll customize your auto and home insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. We have a heat advisory that remains in place through 9 o'clock tonight. Sunshine. High temperatures here today, 98, feeling like 109 with a heat index.
Index. And a passing shower storm this afternoon. Partly cloudy, muggy tonight, low 75. Sizzling sunshine tomorrow. High tomorrow near 100. Heat index values near 107. Sunny and hot Thursday. Passing shower or storm. Highs Thursday near 100. Richard DeWedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room, right to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tony?
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Barry, you're exactly right. Every year, about every 2 years, we'll get an email when the Alabama High School Athletic Association changes some of the rules. Now, if it's 92 degrees or above, you can have no outdoor practices, period. None. There ain't no more, you know. If it's 90 to 92 degrees, you have to have a one-hour practice with 20 minutes of breaks with no gear. 87 to 90, I think, is a max two-hour practice, and you get four breaks per hour, and they have to be around 4 minutes or so. But, yeah, that's it starts at 82 degrees. Anything below 82 degrees, you're fine. And then once it gets between 82, 87 degrees, you have to have at least three breaks per hour that last 4 minutes per break. And then it just gets more intense after that. But, yeah, if it's above 92 degrees or above, you're not supposed to have any more outdoor practice. Now, are 95% of the teams obeying that law? No, they're not. Because, Barry, you just asked the question, how do these guys do it? Well, I'm fortunate enough, we do have an indoor facility. Or you could practice at 6 at night, but the problem with that is getting everybody back to practice. All the kids that can't drive.
I don't even know it's 6 at night. If it's 6 at night, you'd almost have to go. Like, I went out this morning walking at 4:45 in the morning. It was 70. That's when I would practice at 4:45 in the morning. I mean, I know it's a pain to get the kids there, but you could actually run a good practice, be done by 7:30 and get them showered and all, and you'd have it have some meetings in the afternoon, but you can't not practice and have a football game on Thursday and Friday night.
That wouldn't be that's not a bad idea. If you could get the kids that play football a first period class such as athletics, that way they could take a shower and kind of be at, you know, you could be at school, but you could be in that athletics period there.
Yeah.
To where you're not missing history or whatever, you're not being late in one of those classes. But yeah, it's the hottest summer I can remember since I've been an adult, especially. I remember being a kid, it's pretty hot, but yeah, it's pretty bad. When you're playing on that athletic turf, that rubberized turf, and you see the glue coming off of these kids' cleats and they're having blowouts, that's a problem. Guys, that's pretty rough because it's literally loosening up the glue on some of these cleats. And these kids are having blowouts in cleats. It's hot. You got to, you know, I remember talking to one of my, the coaches that I played for. He played at Auburn. And back then, you know, water breaks were like y'all were just talking about, Coach. They were not, you looked at kind of being salt if you took a lot of water. They used to get salt tablets and orange juice. And I was like, golly, you know, and there were guys coming up with all kinds of ways. And when they would get water, they'd soak their undershirt in water. And every now and again, they would reach down and squeeze it out into their mouth, which is disgusting because now they're drinking their own sweat mixed in with a little bit of water. But that's what they had to do to stay hydrated or, you know, at that point in time. I mean, it was just a different time back then.
You tell me why, and nobody would ever do this because it would be such a change. But why couldn't you start basketball in August, play August, September, October, November, finish at Thanksgiving, and then play football then, and then play football, whatever that takes, 3 months or whatever, and then go to baseball with the weather and all? You start the indoor sport when it's 900 degrees outside. Why wouldn't that work, Tony?
It would work down here, but it wouldn't in the north, Barry.
Yeah.
Think well, about I mean, Ohio,
you got to do
Michigan.
What's best for here. We're not playing
those
teams.
Yeah. it would work here. I do wonder if that, I don't know if it'd work or not, yeah, it's, well, guys, look, we live in the South. It's going to be hot. It's just part of it. And Coach Anderson, you are dead on. Tuscaloosa has got to be the hottest part of this state. That I mean, like you said, Houston, New Orleans, or somewhere in Louisiana, maybe even, where daggum LSU plays. I forget the name of it.
Yeah, Houston, Houston, New Orleans, and Tuscaloosa, three hottest places in the world.
I know I've been in New Orleans. It's the hottest place I've been. Is Tuscaloosa, and then I went to Dallas in 2012 and watched Alabama play Michigan. And it was hot there, but I could get, cooled off in the shade because there wasn't any humidity that particular day. But, man, it was hot in Dallas that day. But outside of that, guys, you can't get in the shade and feel comfort here today and tomorrow and Thursday. You just can't. And you're going to sweat under it. I mean, when you walk outside, this stuff just swallows you whole.
What do y'all do for, because, every year this time of year, you're watching these teams play, and a guy you got to have, he's cramping, and he can't go back out there. What are these teams doing to try to prevent these guys, I guess, drinking the pickle juice? What are they doing in preparation to try to wear? I mean, you can literally lose a game because your best couple players are cramping. They can't finish the game.
IVs, pickle juice, tons and tons of water, anything to replenish their electrolytes will help. But, Barry, look, I'll say this. When you have kids and college people that cramp, it's kind of their own fault. They have everything at their ability, at their disposal, to stay hydrated and eat right and have a good diet. And I call it the air conditioning generation. My grandmother, who has been long gone, but she did not believe in air conditioning. She would tell you that air conditioning made you weak. So when we would have to ride with her somewhere in a four-door car, an old Ford LTD, it was windows up. She didn't want to mess her hair up by putting the window down. So you was just out there sweating in a hot box, basically. I can't recall pulling muscles or getting cramps because I was hydrated, but it happens, Barry, and it happens as young as 7th, 8th grade kids catching cramps, and they're just not hydrated. But, yes, now there are times that you can have the best athletes in the world and they're totally hydrated, and it's just so hot, they sweat out more water than they can bring in. That is a legitimate problem, but a lot of times you'll see some sort of a liquid IV or something that they got to take to keep them hydrated. And Barry, there's really nothing you can do other than maybe hold them out a few reps if you can. But hopefully you have some depth. That's where quality of depth comes in. Yep. Got to have depth.
Everybody don't have it.
And those guys got to be ready to go.
I go back to yesteryear. Nobody wants to hear it, so I say it fast. But one of the biggest problems that the trainers had was to knock on Coach Bryant's door and talk to him about injuries. He didn't want to hear it particularly. And also about what the weather might be. And, I got to go down there and say, I happen to have Coach Bryant's office and had the big couch. But the trainers, and a lot of the trainers were close friends of mine. I played golf with them. And they would dread, oh, God, I got to go.
So you go tell him. I ain't telling him. You tell him.
Exactly right. I got to meet the coach at 8:30 today before staff meeting. I hate to tell him this, but so-and-so is not, I don't think he'll be practicing.
Yeah, tell that GA to tell him. He ain't been here long enough. Tell him.
All these stories I tell actually happened. Now, I was right there with him watching his industry for it. When you go into Nick Saban, you probably wouldn't quite get that. You go into Kalen DeBoer, you would say probably he would listen and say, well, when can we get him back? Well, how long is he going to be? Well, we need him to go back quicker than that. That's what Coach Bryant would say.
Yeah,
I've heard stories, Coach, that the guys would come in there and sit on that couch that he had. I don't know if it's a couch or a seat, and the springs were wore out in it. Yeah, they were wore out in it, and your knees had come up to your chest, and it made you sit so much lower than him. Did you sit on that couch a good bit?
Oh, yeah. When I had this office. Yeah, I had the office. I'd bring my players in that. What Coach Bryant would do, he would be behind the desk with his glasses on his nose. And if you got in there and sat down on the, you sat down all the way to the floor. And when he walked around that desk with those glasses scored down, sometimes in his hand, sometimes on his nose, and you're not going to be able to understand him to start with. He's not going to really make it really clear to you. You're not really sure what he's saying, but you. But let me say this: you're saying yes, sir, regardless. Yep. And it was all these times today go back to old times for me.
You don't say, speak English. I can't understand you, Coach. You don't say that.
No, you don't do that. No. You know, Coach Bryant would. He'd go down. You know, he'd go down to Druid Drug every morning. Barry loves baseball with the baseball coach, and they would drink coffee. He didn't have no coffee machine. He walked down to Druid Drug, and they'd say, "Where's Coach Bryant? Is Coach Bryant still in the Druid Drug? I can't go down there until he gets out of there." He and Happy Campbell already gone to Druid Drug. They go down there every morning and drink coffee. Things have changed. No coffee machines, nothing like that. Go ahead. I'm old.
Let me ask you this, Coach. You knew him well. Would he have? I know he would have adapted, but if you don't like something you're doing any longer, you don't intend to stay in it. Would he have stayed into coaching the way things are now?
Probably not. He probably would have gone the route of Coach Saban. He probably would have, you know, he would have been absolute shy. If Coach Bryant were to wake up today and see this, he'd pass out. Coach Bryant was a guy. When you walk by Coach Bryant in the hall, you spoke to him. Good morning. And he would say good morning. I went down to my mailbox. My office before I got his office was down to the other end of the building. That's the only thing he would do. You weren't going to stop him and have a conversation. You're just going to speak to him. He's going to speak to you. So, and when the assistant coaches had their doors open and Coach Bryant walked by or came over there, or they had to go in and talk to him, it was an uncomfortable situation. But you know, it was just different from personalities and his success and so forth. It was good.
Yeah. Well, Tony, go ahead.
The guy y'all had on, I think it was early last week, that was a physician or a doctor for Coach Bryant. I forget his name.
Galen McCullough.
Dr. McCullough. That was one of the best guests y'all had, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. I love that interview.
I got him on.
Great job.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does a great job, and he worked on Annette, my wife, and she had a problem with one of her eyelids or something, and he took care of her. He's a great guy.
Tony, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, y'all have a good one.
All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Morning, Coach. How are y'all?
We're good. How are you, bud?
I'm good. You know, hydration, Coach Saban did not, he said cramp is not a reason to miss plays. We're not going, we're there. And you never saw Alabama players out of the game because of cramp. He didn't tolerate that. And the reason is they put in a lot of time teaching the players about hydration. And he said, you can't wait till the day of the game or the day of practice to hydrate. You've got to start 2 days ahead of time. And he advocated that, and you could tell it would pay off because you didn't see them laying on the ground and all that with cramp because they were hydrated.
Well,
so he didn't put up with that.
Yeah, well, and they also, I've never heard anybody say one negative word about Jeff Allen. What a great trainer he is. And
That's where it came from. They understood the human body well enough to know, said, look, here's what you got to do. And the players, to their credit, they bought into it.
Yeah.
And you didn't see them laying around on the grass.
Well, you The next, when these seasons start, you'll be seeing guys cramping all over the place.
Well, that's right. Sheep are going to have cramps.
Yeah.
And that's what you'll have. But, no, that I thought about that when y'all were talking. And here's another thing. You know, it's been this hot before.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, it was this hot every day.
Yeah. Ain't no fun practicing football in this, so I can assure you that.
Well, I tell you what, I went over there two or three times in the last week or two and watched those kids at Aliceville. They run around like a pack of deer out there.
At Aliceville?
Yeah.
Yeah.
109 heat index. They run around like it ain't no tomorrow.
They gonna be any good to Aliceville?
Well, they gonna struggle. They got one kid over there, my favorite, and he is absolutely. If he was like at a junior college, or if he goes to a junior college, somebody's gonna notice him. But because it's high school, I don't know how much attention he's gonna get. But I keep telling him, and he lives not too far down the street from me. I say, you are already an NFL rival. I'm learning him. But he is really good, and I can't wait to see what he does this year. The problem is going to be somebody throws him. But, yeah, they're going to struggle. But, of all this hot weather, I ain't heard anybody say, oh, it broke the record today. You ain't heard that.
What is the record? It's pretty hot out there.
I don't know what the record is, but if it broke the record, everybody on every newscast, you broke the record today. It's this, that, and the other. It ain't no such thing. But and Tony was right. You live in the South, it's going to be hot.
But I'm saying, but they have all these high school rules where they don't allow them to practice when it's certain. I mean, who's checking the temperature? Like, who says that you can or cannot? Is it your athletic director, your principal? Who says, all right, this is the temperature?
I don't know. I tell you what, though. I was worried about the kids when I was over there watching. I thought, man, you know what? It's so hot, and they got all that stuff on, and they out there running wide open like a pack of wild Indians. And I thought, God. Yeah, and, you know, here's my fear, though. You always hear that somebody succumbs to heat suppression, you know, during the summer, getting ready for football season. And that worries the crap out of me. I worry about that. And I was wondering that we ain't broke any temperature records. Not one.
I don't know. I just know it's hot in the afternoon. I don't know. But I'd be practicing. Yeah, if I were coaching, I'd be practicing in the morning. I can just tell you that. So
I think that's a good idea. But I really do.
But, you know, some of them don't have transportation. They can't get them there.
Yeah, that would be a problem over here to some degree. But I don't know. Anyway, I thought about the hydration thing when y'all were talking about it and Coach Saban and how. But now, you know, I'll give him credit. You know, they had those student managers. They were around, you know, spraying that mist and everything like that to keep players from getting overheated and stuff like that. They had that stuff down to a science, I thought, and did a great job with the hydration and everything else. But you're right. Jeff Allen is a master.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's worth every dime they pay him. What I understand. I don't know him that well, but I've never heard anything bad about him. So.
Well, I mean, we all know, some of the great things he did with injuries and how long he's been there. Even Coach Saban, you know, he couldn't say enough nice things about him.
Well, you know, that's all important. And for those guys in those positions need to have good relationships with the players. And you can tell when the players leave and when you hear them talk about him, how much they meant to him. Because those guys, they spend a lot of time together in that training room. And sometimes they have to be a father. Sometimes they have to be, you know, a mentor. They wear a lot of different hats in that training room with these guys. And so the ones that they're not running from, they're running to, those are the kind of guys you want.
You know, my observation of Jeff is, and I don't know him either, and I don't, you know, I just know what I see and observations of him interacting and so forth. But, you know, he's almost, you know, these people that are nurses and medical staff like that, you know, and the great ones have servant's heart. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what he reminds me of. Anyway, enjoyed the show. It's been a good one today, and thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Tom. All right, let's take a break here, Dad. Let's talk about our great friends out at Bryant Bank. We'll take the break, get back, and have that vinegar tip brought to you by Michael McGuire and State Farm Insurance.
Bryant Bank, outstanding bank for you to go in and see somebody probably that you know, even if you don't live close by. Bryant Bank is an outstanding bank to deal with because they do everything they possibly can to please you. They're darn sure that your money is safe. You can bank online around the clock. They will know you the second time you're in there if they don't know you the first time, and they will do everything possible to be sure that your banking experience is a great experience. There are a lot of banks that don't do that, and I'm not being negative and not calling any names, but I've been to several, and Bryant Bank is absolutely the best, or I wouldn't be doing this little ad that Barry and I do. So go by Bryant Bank. Tell them you heard Barry and I on Inside the Locker Room, and I think you'd be well pleased.
All right, take the break here. The vinegar tip is next. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We are definitely, well, we filled in now on the North Fort freeways inside your prime time. Watch out for heavy traffic on 69 southbound onto Union Chapel Road. So you are red lit back to Hammertown Road. And moving about, McFarland found an accident here on the eastbound lane.
That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
The best station in the state, breaking down Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good.
All right, welcome back. Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Michael's my agent. Let him become yours. 302 Merchants Wall Parkway, Suite 200. Just go to the website, coverageforttown.com. That's F-O-R, coverageforttown.com. Or dial them up, 205-752-8500. When you have an insurance guy, you want somebody that knows the area inside and out and that will help you when you need it, and that would be Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. What is the tip for this Tuesday?
Well, this tip is not only for our listeners, Barry, but also for myself. I live alone now, and I use the microwave a lot because I'm not a very good cook. So how do you clean the microwave? How do you keep the microwave clean? And I learned a lot from knowing about this. You mix a half a cup of vinegar and a half a cup of water in a microwave safe bowl or glass mixing cup, and bring it to a rolling boil inside where it steams up. And that way that steam cleans your microwave. Baked on food that's laid there will be loosened, and you can wipe it right off. You can wipe it clean. Once you get that steam up in that microwave, that really helps you, you know, have a clean, good looking microwave inside. And also, if whatever you have cooked with a microwave has an odor to it, that will make the odor disappear. So in cleaning a microwave, I think it's a good tip. I'm trying to learn how to do it myself. The half a cup of vinegar and a half a cup of water in a bowl or whatever, where the steam will come up when you turn the microwave on, and when you steam it inside there, that loosens up that food, and you can wipe it clean and get rid of the odor. So we have so many people that don't cook anymore, that they use the microwave a great deal, not whether you're, you know, whether you're alone or whether you got a family. Sometimes you just use the microwave's a big deal now. So I think it's a good tip.
All right, Chase, you could use that. Now, I know Chase uses a microwave. I use a microwave, too. Air fryer. Chase, you got an air fryer? Those things are good. Those things are good. You can make some good with that. If you have a grill in your air fryer, you can make some really good chicken, like chicken wings, smoked wings in there. They're good. So do a lot with that. But that microwave, get that microwave clean. Nothing worse than open up that microwave and that thing being filthy. So there you go. We got that taken care of. 205-752-8500. Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. All right, as we roll towards Thursday, you think he... they pretty much know where the starters are. Now they're trying to maybe build substitute patterns. Who goes in for who? Who's in there on third down? If it's third and short, third and long situations, making sure the young guys know the terminology. Just a lot of things to clean up. They've got to work on, you're down 10 with 5 minutes to go, or you're down, you're trying to drive and get that last second field. We hadn't heard much about the field goal kicking and all that. Connor Talty's out there, and they've got the kid they brought in that's in a battle there. And those field goals are big, and you gotta have them. We talk about the line, the quarterbacks, and all that, Chase. But you better not forget about that little kicker. And they were talking about last night, like kickers and punters. Like when you're punting, like if you transfer to an SEC school, the guy said, when you're like in the Ivy League, you're punting to somebody that's going to get their MBA and he's going to go run a business somewhere. But the SEC, you're punting to a guy that's going to where, Chase? The NFL. So you better put that ball. You better get it away from him, or you better get that thing high where those guys got time to get up under it and cover it. So just because you're a punter, when you're punting in the SEC, there's certain things that need to be done, or that guy can take it to the house.
And you need to remember, too, Barry, that a field goal is half a touchdown. Now, people don't think about it like that. And you say, well, everybody knows that. Well, no, not everybody does know it. Ladies, there's some that don't really realize that. A field goal is half a touchdown. And if a touchdown is better, but a half a touchdown helps some. And so field goal kickers are important. And, you know, they're going to miss some. And the offensive line has got to block. That's big for them. And the other factor, too, in field goal is that you've got to have a good snapper. There was a good snapper from Florence that did a good job snapping, Hibbett kid. So a good snapper in the offensive line, but a good holder is critical. It takes a lot of people to make darn sure that field goal, you know, because you kick it into the wind sometimes, and you're gambling a little bit trying to get the score tied and so forth. So as Barry's mentioned, field goal kicking is darn important.
Yeah, I'm going to hear a lot about this tight end room is loaded, or we're fortunate to have these court, and you are. Our defensive line's really good. Oh, we're worried about the offensive line, but we got the best defensive backs in the country. And the game, Chase, could literally come down to that guy kicking the field goal. Right. And it's hard to put that pressure on him in practice, so you don't really know. And kicking in the stadium, in these stadiums, a lot different than kicking out there on the practice field. So I don't think that's something that's talked about enough, and we'll see who wins the job out there. But man, a guy that if you get him down there, he's gonna get you the points. And Alabama fans, we've had good kickers, or we've had some that will keep you on the edge of your seat. And last year you were on the edge of your seat a lot with the, can you imagine being the mama and the daddy of the field goal kicker at the University of Alabama when they run that guy
miserable
out there, Chase?
Miserable.
You got 100,000 people. Those guys have slugged it out all day long, and this guy who's over there, his uniform's not even dirty. He's going to have to put toe to leather to decide if this game's won or not. And the internet is going to absolutely either he's going to be a hero or a zero when that kick leaves that foot. So This is something that
if I was a mom or daddy of Caitlin Clark, the way she plays basketball, I'd be a nervous wreck too.
But she's so good though. I mean,
I know, but we know if she the fouls and so forth and so on. I won't get into all that, but.
I actually watched them play on Sunday. They played the Atlanta, and that girl's name? Chase from LSU.
Angel Reese.
Yeah, she missed the little putback to win the game. I mean, she offensive rebound scores tied, and she just clanked it right off the rim. Pitiful. And then the Fever ended up going ahead and winning. Caitlin Clark's, they're good. She's fun to watch. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll finish up the show and get out of here and make way for the Gary Hare Show. I know all these shows run the Ryan Grubb. Y'all get tired of hearing Ryan Grubb and all these people. Every show plays it. So we'll leave that for some other show today. We do like to play them some, but I keep hearing every show plays these things, Chase. We got to say, all right, you take it this week, and then you take it the next week. But when everybody plays it, my goodness. So, Gary, I'm going to give you a bone. You got the Ryan Grubb if you want it. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
From the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center, looking at delays heavily in Northport on McFarland at Harbor Road. Actually, McFarland on the eastbound lanes at Harbor Road. You do have this crash. It's got traffic brake lit back to Airport Road. And then we also a bit slow here on University.
Now that's a good deal. No contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, all on Verizon's 5G network. Find it in the same place you've always found straightforward prices, exclusively at Walmart and StreetDoc.com.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Clorox disinfecting wipes kills 99.9% of germs without smelling like it. Clorox, clean feels good. Use as directed.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. We have a heat advisory that remains in place through 9 o'clock tonight. Sunshine. High temperatures here today, 98, feeling like 109 with a heat index. And a passing shower or storm this afternoon. Partly cloudy, muggy tonight, low 75. Sizzling sunshine tomorrow. High tomorrow near 100. Heat index values near 107. Sunny and hot Thursday. Passing shower or storm. Highs Thursday near 100. Richard DeWedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 84 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room, right here on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. That'll do it for today's show. Alabama will be on the practice field getting ready for the scrimmage on Thursday, Chase. I'm from hearing Coach Grubb, I'm sure they'll name a quarterback next week. So after the scrimmage, give them couple of days to kind of hammer it all out, talk to the kids, let them know, and then they'll release it out, talk to their families and the plan and all that. And a lot goes into that. It's not just naming one. You got to handle it properly, especially with the transfer portal and everything the way that it is. And everybody understands. So they'll handle it properly, I'm sure. That's it. The Gary Harris Show is next. So keep it locked in. Stay cool. If you're going to do something outside, I suggest you do it early in the morning. Do it right now. I guess the middle afternoon. Whew. Wait till the night to do it. But so I got up and got mine in early this morning, Chase. That was nice. All right, you listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.